Is obesity beautiful? Jordan and I are here to answer that question today, or at least give our opinions. I don't think we're going to have too many differing ones here, but we do have some interesting stuff to go over. Jordan, how have you been since our last podcast?
Doing good. Pondering this question, is obesity beautiful? I like how you said it, though. Obesity. Is obesity beautiful? I like the emphasis on the O, and that's how obesity. I would like to. That's how I'd like to say it from
diabetes.
Now on. Diabetes. Well, there's just been a movement overall in the U.S. One, we've had trends of obesity going up. I was looking at some recent statistics on that. It seems pretty clear we keep hiking up. But it's not just that we're becoming more obese. We're noticing that there's almost an emphasis in media about glorifying it and celebrating obesity. And I think that's kind of what we want to talk about is obesity beautiful? Can you be beautiful and be overweight? Is obesity something that should be celebrated in America? There's a lot of different questions to be asked here.
I think one of the good ones we can start off with first is, what do we mean exactly by beautiful? We are not talking about the content of somebody's character here, because that is a completely separate issue. You could be the most drop-dead gorgeous person on the face of the earth, but if you have a horrible personality and attitude, no, you're not, in an overall sense, I would say, considered beautiful. I think here, though, we're specifically talking about beautiful in regard to obesity, people that are overweight, out of shape, not taking care of themselves. And part of our opinions, I think, today will come from a health perspective and not purely just superficial, what's on the surface level. And I do feel like, at least growing up, there was like a lot of push for you to be comfortable in your own skin. And I feel like that correction has swung from left to right all the way.
Yeah,
like just
it's over, really done overcorrected.
It's way
Agreed.
Overcorrected. Now it's not be comfortable in your skin. It's, this is beautiful. And if you don't think so, you're just a horrible person.
Yeah, screw you. Yeah, I think that's probably true. And I want to talk a little bit about defining beautiful, because I think in this case specifically we are talking physical attractiveness.
This is correct.
Yes, physical attractiveness, because you could talk about the difference between a beautiful woman and a hot woman. I don't know how they do it for men. Handsome man, sexy man.
You're the woman here. You tell us.
Well, that's what's interesting, though, is that it's so different, I think, for men versus women. So, for example, I have noticed, at least, that if it is a woman who is overweight or obese, because there is a difference between being overweight and obese.
Mm-hmm.
Overweight is not quite as unhealthy as being obese, or being obese isn't as bad as being morbidly obese, which means that you are in danger of dying because, you know, diabetes, heart attack, fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I've noticed that with women, if they're overweight or obese, they're like, well, you have to accept us as we are. Right? We have to accept us as we are. And you're like, okay. Then when it comes to men, it's a completely different standard. If a man is overweight, it's not the same. Women don't quite feel the same way about that, as far as I've been able to tell. Like, there's a lot more judgment on a man if he's overweight. And actually, I don't think that the judgment is 100% unwarranted. If we think about it from like a biological perspective, women tend to look for partners, well, I guess healthy. Mm-hmm. If a woman is trying to reproduce, you're going to go after a healthy looking partner. I think that's why like symmetry has a lot to do with people being attractive, because symmetry means everything's even, everything looks good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually very understandable to be like, yeah, I want a partner that's, you know, not a bodybuilder or a fitness influencer type, but like someone who's like, I take care of my body.
Right.
And that's really important. That doesn't mean that life doesn't happen and you have four kids and you fall off a little bit, get back on. There's some grace involved there.
Yeah.
But if there's an overall, I'm not taking care of myself, and not only am I not taking care of myself, but I'm glorifying my state of being when it's not good, that's an issue. And so when I think when men, if a man's like, I don't want to date this woman because she's overweight or obese, I don't think he should be hated on for that. I think that's completely fair.
I think it's in the, it's probably actually, I'm take that back. It's a better reason to not date that person than women saying they won't date a guy unless he's over 6 foot.
Yeah.
That one's pretty superficial.
It is. And I have to admit, it's like a preference.
Yeah. If you have a preference,
that's
fine. But then women shouldn't be upset. I might be able to find it later, but there was a back and forth. I think it was on Twitter or Instagram with some chick who posted a photo saying, she's semi-famous, or maybe she is famous, and she posted a photo saying that she wouldn't date guys over 6 foot. And then one
over 6 foot or under 6 foot?
Over 6 foot. Sorry.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Sorry. No. She would only date guys over 6 foot.
Okay,
she would
okay.
not date them if they were less than 6 foot.
I see.
Well, one of the first comments that she gets is, sorry, I don't date any women under size C bra. And she was like, that's extremely offensive. He's just like, okay.
It's like, well, that's the thing. The standard is really weird. And it pulls differently for men and women mm-hmm. when it comes to attraction. So someone got into some hot water.
Lots of hot
recently.
Water. It was great.
He got into some piping hot Twitter water. Jordan B. Peterson, go ahead and pull that up, Connor.
Yep.
So Sports Illustrated, their 2022 swimsuit edition, their model was... I believe this is the first Asian American model, something of that sort. It's very interesting. I don't know what her ethnicity is because she looks kind of like me. Like, she looks kind of mixed a little bit.
She looks pretty mixed to me.
Yeah, she looks very mixed. And Jordan Peterson, go up. I want to make sure that I quote him. He reshares the cover and he says, "Sorry, not beautiful." And no amount of authoritarian tolerance is going to change that. So if you haven't seen the cover, I should have actually described her before I said his quote. But she is, I would say, an overweight model wearing a revealing one-piece swimsuit. And so that was his comment regarding her. And I feel comfortable saying that she's overweight because I think that is the point of this specific edition, is to show off plus size models. So I think,
yeah, which is not what Sports Illustrated.
Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. But when I initially saw this, listen, I'll give my opinion, you give yours.
Oh yeah.
So my initial thought when I saw Peterson's comment, I really honestly felt like I understood what he was saying, but it was too pithy and it didn't explain much. And if you actually look at this model, yes, she is overweight, but I'd actually say she's actually fairly attractive for her size and even just for her looks in general. I actually think that for an overweight woman, I think she's actually very beautiful. And on a normal spectrum, I'd say she is pretty. But of course, Connor, you pointed out, what is the definition of not beautiful, and what exactly is Peterson talking about when he says mm-hmm. sorry, not beautiful? So my critique of Peterson is that I didn't feel like he he didn't explain himself very well, in my opinion. But I understood what he was saying, but without context it really didn't really make a ton of sense.
Yeah, my initial reaction was I think Jordan Peterson just got hacked, because he tends to be, now he does have a temper, and so you can watch stuff where he kind of explodes and doesn't think through stuff like he normally does, but he's normally pretty slow and very choice about his words, and this just seemed kind of out of character for him. So I kind of looked at it and I was like, did he get hacked? Look around, I'm like, nope, he didn't get hacked. This was pretty, as far as his tweet goes, I think it was pretty short-sighted for me. And I'll be honest, I didn't really know what he was getting at. And I didn't really take into consideration, the magazine cover that she was on, because I've never cared about Sports Illustrated, never looked at it, never. I just don't care. I don't care about sports in general, and I definitely don't care about this part of it. And I guess my initial reaction to the cover, same thing. I think she's actually fairly attractive.
Yeah.
But she is overweight.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a healthy or normal size. not that, you know, maybe it was back in the day with the Greeks and stuff, because there are plenty of people, I went through the comments, there's plenty of people that point out like all the old paintings and stuff where women are more plump.
And they are plump.
The thing is like back then, okay, if you got to that size, you were pretty well off and well fed. And today, that's kind of the opposite. You're not eating very well. You're eating pretty much junk food to get to that point. So it's kind of a concern there for me. But I think overall, I looked at it, I was like, she's really pretty. I would not say she's healthy, or at least, well, not healthy in the way that somebody on a Sports Illustrated magazine, I think, should be. And I would say she is overweight. And I think the swimsuit is a horrible fit for her body type. I think whoever picked that should be fired.
Yeah, I actually agree.
It's not flattering at all. In fact, I think it just made it worse.
I don't even think that it would look good on somebody who's really thin either.
I think it's a horrible swimsuit to begin with.
Because I've seen styles like this, because obviously I'm a woman, I wear bathing suits, and this was never my first choice, because this is a popular style for women. I know you probably don't know that, but it is a popular style. I just think it looks, I wouldn't wear it. I just wouldn't wear it.
To try and to describe this a little bit for anybody that's listening and hasn't seen this, and maybe you don't want to see it, I don't know. But normal bikini, except the bottom piece, instead of just going around the hips, has a centerpiece that goes up and connects in between, I guess you would say, the bra cups. And that has its own string that goes around her neck. So as far as the top portion goes, I think it actually looks fine, but that bottom portion, it just looks really awkward pulling this extra piece of fabric up and over to cover the stomach, which normally when you wear a bikini like this, I feel like that's part of the point, is to show off your stomach.
Yeah.
So this kind of defeats it. It really creates like this awkward duck print shape on the front of her. It's not flattering.
Yeah, I can't even really blame her. I mean, they style her and they do all that stuff. I don't personally like the swimsuit on anyone, but... Particularly,
this swimsuit is made for no one.
It really is made for no one. And the thing too, I do want to point out, there is another side of it where there are many of Sports Illustrated models who I'd say are very beautiful, like, you know, gorgeous, sexy, but they are also unhealthy in a different way.
Yes,
where they are underfed. Some of them could be anorexic, not all of them. Some genuinely have a metabolism that can just, you know, keep everything flat. And just because you have a pudge in your stomach, a lot of that for women, one, we have sex organs. But the second thing, too, is also how much space you have in your torso is going to determine kind of how much of a pudge you have as well, even if you are a normal weight. So someone with a longer torso, there's a lot more room for their organs. Mm-hmm. With someone with a smaller torso, there's not going to be as much room. So you're probably always going to have a little bit of that pudge. So you just have to look at biology and just basic anatomy and just go, okay, if you have a smaller torso, you have a pudge, and that's normal. And if you're someone with a super long torso and you have a flatter stomach, it's probably because your organs have a little bit more room. And there's nothing wrong with either of those. But a lot of people don't realize that, you know, they strive to have this beautiful body that can't necessarily happen just because of the way that they are genetically.
Yeah,
and just like to put that out there.
I'm actually curious, because I feel like if it's Sports Illustrated, I feel like they should have athletes. And I am curious what she does exactly, but it looks like she's an American model and singer-songwriter. And that's it. She's the first plus-size model of Asian descent. So I don't know if she's the first Asian descent or just the first plus-size Asian to be on here. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
she's a songwriter. So I don't... I guess for me, I'm just kind of stuck at the fact that she's not an athlete. So why is she on here?
Yeah. And I think White House talks, not White House. I'm reading off of the screen and I saw White House. I think Peterson, he gives his explanation. And so this is when I understood better. So I guess.
Yes, this is where I understood better. Because Peterson eventually, his daughter Michaela interviewing, brings it up. And I think. Initially here, I forgot to conclude my thoughts on his tweet exactly, but I was like, he just fell victim to the age-old problem of Twitter, which is It just elicits explosive reactions from people.
It does.
You're just short, to the point, no explanation for what you're really saying. Because if you do want to explain it, then you're like retweeting like several tweets down to yourself. And it just...
Which I guess he kind of acknowledges on the
he does kind of acknowledge
it. In the clip of like it's kind of an issue.
It's kind of an issue. It's an issue with all of social media, but Twitter is... like in the center of it. I would say Twitter and then TikTok is kind of the video version. And it's really a place for people to just mouth off to each other without consequence, which is a pretty, pretty toxic environment. And Peterson, being human, totally fell for it. I wouldn't condone his tweet, not without an explanation. And so he does give an explanation. We're gonna play a chunk of that explanation here for you and then talk about exactly the implications of his explanation following hot water that he got into here. Because if you can find it, he posted it on May 16th is when he commented on it, and it lit up a storm. Lots of people commenting that he's not beautiful with screenshots, and I'm like, he's
probably not beautiful. I mean,
no, I would say he's pretty average as far as guys go. But I mean, like guys seem to have a very different scale than women, and we can talk into more of that afterwards, because it's interesting and it varies by person, by culture.
It does.
It's not something that you can really get a metric on, I would say. But we'll start out this interview here around the minute 23 second as they start to get into it, and continue on for a few minutes, and then me and Jordan will jump back in.
No, I looked at the Sports Illustrated cover, and they had a rather overweight young woman, quite symmetrical, so nice facial features and so forth. With a very revealing swimsuit on the cover. And I thought, no, like not in a personal way, but it's unbelievably manipulative for about three different reasons. The first is it's a very tawdry attempt to capitalize on cheap sales. And I mean cheap in a specific way. Sports Illustrated hit the gold mine with their swimsuit cover, I suppose 20 years ago, whenever they established that. Because it's a sports magazine, so it's about athletics. It's about athletic people. It's about athletic bodies. And they had a swimsuit issue, and it really was a big hit. And then it became kind of a cultural icon. And it's a very specific kind of cultural icon because it focuses on a very exceptional kind of high-end beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And so that beauty would involve symmetry and signals of youth, because that's part of beauty, sexual beauty. Physical beauty, waist to hip ratio for women. But with Sports Illustrated, it's also highlighting a kind of athleticism in body type. And that's a very specific form of beauty. You have to be young. You have to be female, generally. You have to be extremely athletic. You have to be shapely in a very particular way. And that would be with a waist to hip ratio of 0.68, because that's what's been established cross-culturally as ideal from the perspective of male sexual interest, let's say, but that's also associated with fertility.
Yeah.
And so it's a marker that has a biological basis. And so even if you're a very beautiful woman, you're hard-pressed to be beautiful enough to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated for the swimsuit issue. And so it's a pinnacle achievement of sorts, and it's focused on a very idealized and specific form of beauty. And that's obviously exclusionary. It's obviously exclusionary. It excludes
everyone.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it does that to highlight a kind of ideal, and that's a particular ideal of beauty. And there are some cultural boundaries around that. So you could say, well, it's a westernized form of beauty. It's like, yeah. And you can point to Rubens' paintings of more plump women, mm-hmm. and say, well, there's an exception. It's like, great. You think you're a genius for finding that exception. Good for you. You know the Rubens painting. Like, more power to you. But that doesn't mean anything at all about the universality of images of beauty. And so the cover bothered me a lot, because it was a cheap manipulation of something that had been working very well for Sports Illustrated. It was also an insistence that all of a sudden this non-athletic body type is as beautiful as the standard swimsuit model for Sports Illustrated. And it's not. It's not as athletic, and it's not as healthy. And that's that. And it's also not arbitrary. And so the whole thing is a lie. And then it's a lie that's a manipulation of that young woman. Now, she partakes in that because she participates in it. But it's still, they're not on her side. They're exploiting her, as far as I'm concerned. And she may be participating in that exploitation, but they're still exploiting her. So don't pull any moral stunts on me because you're irritated about my opinion about the Sports Illustrated cover, when it's bloody clear to anybody with eyes that that was manipulative in 20 different ways. And so, and I'm also not willing to sacrifice these ideals for inclusiveness. It's like, no, not everyone's a genius. No, not everyone's Picasso. No, not everyone's young and healthy. And no, not everyone is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, period. And you, if you don't like it.
All right, coming back to it here.
Yeah.
Initial thoughts.
I would tend to agree. He kind of got on a point here, a couple different points about the idea of exclusion, that we are so used to inclusivity, I guess at the expense of like specialty ideas like swimsuits, Sports Illustrated, you know, this woman is not sporty. Just gonna let you know, she's not sporty.
No.
The second thing too is it takes away a lot from people's hard work. You know, I kind of finished talking about different body types and how, you know, women, you know, how long their torsos are, you know, what kind of body type they have, whatever. But let's be real, there are some women, like, despite, you know, whatever biological things they have going on, work really hard. I watch a lot of them go to the gym. I go to a gym myself. I have a very wiry body type, so I have a very hard time putting on muscle. But they work really hard in the gym. And they're the type of people that would be on the cover of a sports magazine, not necessarily in a bikini, but just in a sporty manner, because they've worked hard. It takes a lot of dedication to do a sport, to go to the gym 4 to 5 days a week. It takes a lot of dedication to make sure that you're eating well. And by the way, when I go to the gym, I think there definitely are unhealthy stuff about fitness culture, which I could definitely get into. But these women are not tiny. Like, they're not. A lot of women now in the fitness world are actually really focused on eating a lot more. And they're really focused on building that kind of muscle. And so when you see something like this, it kind of takes away from some of that hard work that they've done, that people that have worked hard should be on these types of covers. I don't love having the super, I don't know, the supermodels on these things too. I'd rather have like real sporty women.
Yeah, no, for I was going to say, like, the ones that I've seen in the past on, you know, passing through grocery stores or whatever, because that's usually the only places I'll ever see magazines, never been an intake of mine because I just, why? I don't understand.
Oh, I love fashion magazines.
I don't understand magazines or newspapers. I don't want them. They don't
I love magazines. Fashion magazines are my thing, but that's partially because I think I've always been kind of more artsy and creative, and I'm a photographer, so it makes sense.
And I'm not at all.
Yeah, fair.
A zero as far as that goes. But yeah, I think Peterson mentioned that it was like a cultural icon, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. And I agree, it is an icon. I don't know if it's a good icon.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Where
it really depends on who they have up there. In this case, that's not good because, well, A, she's not an athlete and she's not fit. And I would say she's tipping towards being unhealthy for sure. I don't know that she's so far that, you know, she could be having health problems from it, but it's certainly not helping her. But then we go to the other side, like you mentioned, people, women and men can end up with like eating disorders, although women are far more likely to develop an eating disorder. But you get into some of the really obnoxious Sports Illustrated stuff where they're just very scantily clad and there's just not much there. And
yeah, I don't think, and that's, I don't think that's good
either. No, and I don't think so either. I'm sure if I went through all of their cover models, and I would be disappointed every time one of them is not an athlete. I don't care if they're a really good looking model. There's other magazines for that. It doesn't make sense to be in the Sports Illustrated model or magazine and not be involved in a sport.
Yeah, I think if you want to be truly exclusive for a Sports Illustrated magazine cover, it would be a sporty woman or an athlete of some type who is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like just, and there's plenty of those, by the way. And I think that would be a pretty good, that would be a pretty good model to put on there. Of course, they're not going to do that because no one, I don't know why people don't want to talk about it. Maybe I feel like they don't want to, but you know, it really is for like men to look at, you know, it's really, there isn't really much of a moral thing going here, except for in this case where Sports Illustrated is doing some level of virtue signaling by having this model on their cover.
You think Peterson's comments about them taking advantage of her and viewers as they try and push this on people, you think those comments
hold water? I think to a certain extent, yes. I think this is where it gets a little bit tough, where I think he said, you know, it's nothing personal.
He did say she looked very symmetrical.
Here's the thing. She is a beautiful woman. I do think that she's a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes back to one of the main points that I made in the beginning, is that you can be overweight and still be beautiful. You might not be super healthy, but you can still be beautiful. But I don't think it should necessarily be celebrated. I wouldn't encourage people to pursue being overweight. I understand there's people with medical issues. I understand it. I get it.
Right.
But there's a lot of Americans that are fairly overweight to obese that have, they have more health problems, they have higher medical bills. So I think to a certain extent, yes, I think that they are using her for a specific viewpoint on health. And for sports, people who are sportier have to be healthier. Their metabolism, my dad, he used to tell me, he used to be a swimmer. Where they just eat differently. Like he could swim and eat two pizzas and it wouldn't be an issue. Like, because he was burning so many calories. And so when you're in a state of any sort of, like, when I start working out, I tend to start eating much more. You can have a different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys, if you want to eat more of your favorite foods, work out more. Then you can start eating quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the thing though, too, is like, you know, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. It's pretty true. People say you want to eat about 80-20, so 80% healthy, 20%, I guess, unhealthy. I go more 30-70 because my body needs fat really bad. I've tried doing like a lean kind of Mediterranean. You know, you have, you know, your meat, your grain, and your vegetable. That's typically how mm-hmm. I used to eat. But I was always super hungry. So when I added in that fat, like an avocado or cream cheese or like something, life was better. Life was better. But that was my body. Okay. That's my body. That's how it goes. But this woman, she's clearly, I don't think she's doing anything that I would say is, she might be active in a sense that she does some stuff, but not enough to overcome whatever diet or whatever sort of genetics that she has going on for her. But right. I do think that she is being used to an extent.
Okay. Yeah. And no, I was going to say, I agree with his comments that she is being used to push an unhealthy standard on people, and other people are being manipulated along with it. I'm going to see if I can pull it up, but there was this chick that went out to New York City to basically stand in her skivvies and was waiting to get ridiculed for being overweight. And instead of getting ridiculed, she got catcalled. And then she was upset that she got catcalled. And I'm like, I don't know what she wanted to get out of this other than to be a victim.
Yeah.
I'll try and find that story later. But I don't think that this is this person. I think that this is very much somebody who's likely been tricked into thinking that she's healthy. But, you know, she's not going to... In no measurement would I say this is healthier than an actual athlete.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could probably just depend on the athlete. I mean, athletes, you know, they take on a lot of injuries.
You know, I'm gonna expand that. Not even just athletes, but just in general being healthy.
Yeah.
I think that the way she is right now, that she would be limited to some capacity, whether it's, you know, how, you know, can you run past a mile or two, you know, without being completely winded and just done for the day, you know, whatever type of athletics you would place her in, because that is, that is where when your body is not taken care of properly, that's where you suffer. As soon as I got a remote job that required me to travel and eat on the go, I definitely started gaining weight. I went from like 195 to 213. And luckily I have some height on me, so it didn't show as much, but I felt it anytime I went out to go and do something. If I went to go try rock climbing or try to take the dog on a jog, or get on my bike and hit a trail, and I suffered for it big time. And, because I know what it feels like, you know, within the last 2 years, I know what it feels like to be in good shape and to be able to handle that stuff. And all of a sudden I found myself unsure of my balance, unsure of like jumping and landing properly. So if I went out hiking and trails or bouldering, there was a lack of certainty in how my body functioned. I didn't feel in control of it, like I did when I was active. And so recently had to get back into it. And it's like, yeah, I'm shedding weight. I'm also building muscle, but everything else, all the other senses that come along with it are there. You're sharper. You're more in tune with what your body's capable of, what it can handle. And honestly, it helps you pay attention when something goes wrong and there's something wrong with your body, because you get yourself into this healthy state where you start to notice, you know, maybe there's a bit of a pain in a certain area, whether it's like the back of your neck or your head, and you're not accustomed to it because you've taken care of your body. So you know something's wrong. You dealt with this personally in your life with some health stuff over the last couple of years, where you're just like, no, something's not right. Something's changed. And, you know, it took a couple of doctors for them to figure out what it was. But eventually it was identified. If you were obese and had diabetes and high cholesterol and all these other things on top of it, how many things would just feel wrong that you just kind of chalk it up to another symptom? I know that's what my grandfather did, mm-hmm. even to the point that the doctors were basically overdosing him on medications because they just kept adding stuff. It was like, oh, your blood's too thin, so we're going to thicken it up here. And then another doctor is like, well, because of, you know, you nearly had a clot, we're going to give you some blood thinners. So you got blood thinners and you got blood thickeners on top of it. And you have all these other medications that have other side effects on it. And ultimately, he just ended up in the hospital one day, sick as a dog, almost dying because, well, he had so many conflicting medications, but he did not take care of himself. And so I got to watch that till the day he died, unfortunately. But it's like, not taking care of himself, he never really knew when something new was wrong. It was just another symptom, basically, and he was always uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're healthier, and I will, as you were talking, one of the things, too, is you don't have to be overweight to be unhealthy. Mm-hmm. You can be, I think, what they call kind of skinny fat.
Yes.
Which is what I was, where I was like at 108, 112, and I looked... I was very thin, and I still am a pretty thin person. However, I'm at like 130 now, and a lot of that has been muscle gain. I've gained most of it in my thighs and in my lower body, essentially. But you're absolutely right. Like when you're stronger, you do feel like you understand your body more. You're more confident. Like when I was smaller and really had no muscle, I didn't feel very confident in carrying things, didn't really feel confident in myself in general. And now that I'm stronger, I definitely feel a lot more confident that I can do things. Mm. So it's really too about people that they might be skinny, but they're not healthy. That certainly is a thing as well. But, you know, so there's two different things here. If we look at physical attraction level of this woman, I would say that she's, you know, fairly attractive, but she is overweight. And I think where some of Peterson's anger comes from is people trying to convince him that someone is beautiful who's not beautiful. Like, he's kind of tired of it in general. Yeah. Where it's like, he's like, I'm supposed to see every obese woman as beautiful, and I don't feel that way. And so he's tired of being told that. And I think a lot of other men are tired of being told that too. And so I can see where some of that anger is coming in. That's why he's just like, sorry, you know, not beautiful, you know, come at me. You know, I'm finally just going to say what, you know, other men are thinking. And so that, you know, that's his opinion on that matter. And, you know, I tend to agree, where I'm just like, you shouldn't be forced to think that someone's pretty just to be inclusive.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like Peterson pointed out, being on the cover of that magazine is extremely exclusive.
Right.
It only happens, what, once a year?
I think it's a summer issue. Yeah, I think it's once a year.
A year or maybe a few more times. Either way, majority of the population that has ever lived or is currently alive is not going to be on the cover of that magazine. Either because A, they just don't have the resources for it, or B, because, and resources mean they're just not connected with Sports Illustrated to be in that position, or B, that you just don't have the body type. I couldn't be on one. I'm not that fit. It's not going
to
happen.
I tend to agree with that. Sorry, Connor.
No,
and
I'm
and
not.
And it would be the same for me too. I'm definitely not fit enough to be on that cover.
Yeah, no. In fact, most of the people I know, actually, I would say probably all of the people I know, none of them would be on it. There's very few.
But you have to understand that models are paid to do this. Like, that is their job, to look this way. Yep. Your job is not to look this way. My job is not to look this way.
Yeah, no, if you got paid to work out and eat right and promote fitness stuff all day,
you'd be pretty dedicated to that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of us have day jobs and things we have to do, and you know, working out is good, but it's not.
Most people are lucky to get in, you know, an hour or two workout every other day, where these people can, you know, they go in for a 2-hour session in the morning, they eat, they have some other stuff, they get in that late afternoon session, and then they probably get one more session in before bed. And it's like, if we had that, we could all look like this.
I don't want that. That sounds miserable.
It takes work. Yeah. And that's another point that he was putting in there, that it's this, and you've mentioned it quite a few times as well, is that this is not an easy thing to do. And quite honestly, they're setting it up for, you know, the person that eats Big Macs every other day. Like, they, you could be featured too. And it's okay. It's okay to be unhealthy. And I really feel like this country's gone downhill in that perspective. That, yeah, there is a really bad fitness craze, to the point that it was making people unhealthy. And I think you mentioned it earlier that you could speak on some of that. I think it's worth it on this one, because we're not here to just basically call out and be like, guys, if you're overweight, you know, it's not just unhealthy when you're overweight. You can be underweight, you can be thin, and it's still not healthy. I've known plenty of people that were thin that could not hold a candle to people and that were actually fit and healthy. And it's like, yeah, you're skinny, but you have no stamina, you have no muscle build, you're not flexible. So anytime you're asked to do anything remotely physical or physically demanding of you, you either can't do it or you don't last very long.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's kind of a different shift with fitness culture, where it's about aesthetic. It's about the way you look. It's almost a self-obsession in a different way. Mm-hmm. Where with body positivity, you accept yourself as you are, to an unhealthy extent, food-wise and weight-wise, where you're overweight. But with people in fitness culture, I think it's like self-love of they have to keep changing their body. They're not happy with where it's at. It's just another unhealthy, like, it's like being fit is good, and then taking it to an extreme of like, I need to be more fit. And I think you even say the thing with body positivity, is like, yes, you should, you know, accept your body, but it almost takes it to an extreme. If I'm going to accept it and glorify it in its most unhealthy state. So there's two different things going on there. And so what I feel like I've seen women in the fitness community do is that they are really obsessed with getting a six pack, abdominals that are really visible. And the way that you do that, and I'm trying to remember the exact percentage, but to get your abs to be visible, I feel like for most people, you want your body fat to be, for women, excuse me, be like 13 to 15% body fat.
I thought it was going to be lower than that, actually.
No, I think 13 would be probably more ideal. But you want your body fat to be pretty low. And this, which makes sense, because then, you know, the less fat you have, the more visible your muscles are.
Right.
But women tend to need a little bit more fat. I'd say, again, I'm not an expert on this, but I want to say it's about 20%, maybe higher than that, because women have to make, you know, children. And when women lose a lot of body fat, an unhealthy amount of body fat, they can also lose their periods as well. So you can, and there's also women too that go to the gym that, again, they're actually, I would say to a certain extent, they could be the same weight as that model in that picture and have they have the fat, yes, but they have the muscle too. Yep. They have more muscle than the fat, but they kind of need some of the fat in order to build that muscle. That might not be 100% accurate, but from what I've seen from women that build muscle, they tend to have a little extra fat too.
Oh yeah, I've seen it with men as well. In fact, I really got to see it because my mom, and I love her, and she's done an awesome job fitness wise, but she has gone more for the bodybuilding competition style thing. And she is in the swimsuit category. So pretty good having 8 kids and raised 9. And she's lost a ton of weight. She's doing fantastic, but going to those events and seeing the way that people really do customize and sculpt their bodies, on the extreme end, like the swimsuit category is basically more for people that are fit. And then after that, you get into more of the bodybuilding categories. And that's where steroid use is pretty normalized at this point, pretty well accepted that you use it to obtain a certain look, but then you have to upkeep it. So there's still work involved. It's not a shortcut. And it's not, I think what kind of killed me for the bodybuilders is that it isn't like they're strong, but it's not real strength. And I was, while we were at the competition and, you know, watching the guys come up and do all their flexing and posing and all their muscles. And look, I'm going to say it's phenomenal. The muscles that they are able to build, like, never going to look like that personally. It's just, it's not for me. So there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into it, and they're there to show it off. And, you know, maybe you can call it egotistical or whatever it is. And some of them are, but others are there because they're proud of what they've been able to do with their body. And you get some of the other stories, like, you know, my mom getting over Lyme disease, 8 kids, you know, we got to another guy who was just basically overweight and nearly bedridden, and he's dropped all the weight and now he's a bodybuilder. So there are some really amazing stories out there. But in terms of like pure athleticism, I just don't think that they really cut it.
Specifically about bodybuilding. It's like one specific purpose. It's not really about making those muscles functional.
Yeah, no, it's purely for looks and show. And I was showing one of my sisters while we were at the competition. I was like, all right, so we have these guys on stage of us, and they have muscles on top of muscles, and muscles that I've never seen before or heard of, and they're in between their other muscles that are stacked. And it's like their bodies look phenomenal and then sometimes grotesque on the higher end of it. But I was like, here's some guys that are in these like Scottish competitions that they have, and they are picking up boulders that weigh hundreds of pounds, and they're having to walk them or throw them, or they have to do, you know, there's a lot of different strength competitions. And I was showing her where they throw the poles and try to flip them and all these other things. And none of these guys look like any of the bodybuilders. In fact, a lot of them are quite chunky. And if you didn't know any better, you would probably say they're fat. In fact, they are not fat. There's just some fat on top of that muscle, and they have enough muscle to crush you in a bear hug. And they're just extremely strong people. And a lot of the women look the same way. And
a lot of the ones that do a lot of powerlifting tend to look that way.
It's very, very, very different. So, I mean, you can sculpt your body for different functions. But I think the primary one that we've been talking about is just how able are you and how athletic are you? I don't really know what type of cardio the bodybuilders that I saw, what type of cardio they actually have. And from my experience, at least there and talking with them and hearing about how they work out and what they eat and all this stuff, is that if you took them to certain fitness centers or had them run a certain routine of exercises, that if it involved cardio and heavy weights to any extent, they're not going to make it through it.
Yeah, if you're doing mostly weight training and not as much cardio, you're just kind of almost building muscle that's not, you can't do as much with it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can be the case. I think for me, because I hate running. I hate running. I think it's just the worst thing in
me
the world.
Me too.
I hate running.
I'll do sprints.
I can run though.
I still hate sprints, but it's like, it's horrible for a few seconds and it's over and then you do it again. And it's better than, I think the longest race that I ever ran was a quarter marathon. So a 10K, I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what killed me. And it's kind of odd because I really am like a single track person. I can't really process multiple things. So you'd think that I guess that makes sense. All I could do was focus on running. And then unfortunately I was like, this is so boring. And then all I could focus on was that I was bored.
Yeah. No, I have the same issue. Steven, he thinks running's great. he's like, oh, just clear my mind. I'm like,
freeze
oh,
his
good
mind,
for you.
Freeze his thoughts.
Yeah, no,
think about,
no,
you know, can't
no.
Do
I feel like I'm in a prison going nowhere. It's and even I run outside too. I'll run outside. I don't run on a treadmill. But one more thing I would point out and say that people's bodies are built differently. There are some people that are going to be more athletic than others.
Oh yeah.
And that's okay. Like you have to look at, okay, what's the standard that I need to be reaching? Cause if you try to like, if you know that you're not, you know, you're not a great swimmer or like your body's just not built that way. You know, don't put so much pressure on yourself, you know, make goals that are difficult and that are hard. But don't try to be something, you know, that you're not, but like what's healthy for me. Because sometimes I do think the BMI thing can be a little not
oh, it's totally
super
skewed.
Accurate. Yeah, I don't think it's super accurate, but like I'm not a super, I don't consider myself a super athletic person. And so when I go to the gym, it can be kind of intimidating because I'm a noodle. I am a noodle. And I walk into the gym and all these women are just, they're just, they look amazing. And kudos to them, by the way. When I see them lifting, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I'm pretty stoked. And then they start flexing in the mirror. Then it gets a little weird. But the work that they've done is fantastic. But I understand, okay, you know, you've had a lot of chronic illness. You know, you have some different stuff going on. Your body type also just isn't built quite the same. Mm-hmm. So, you know, set goals for you. And I've been able to beat some of those goals, and that's made me very happy.
Yeah, no, this is more about making sure that you take care of yourself. And like we said, being thin is not taking care of yourself. That's not the same thing as being healthy and being fit. And I guess to maybe wrap this up, Jordan's right. This stuff kind of is custom. You kind of have to custom tailor it to you. There are going to be certain sports or activities that you are better at than others. You might be a long distance runner. You might be more of a sprinter or a weightlifter, or maybe you can just kind of do everything all together. And
hate
maybe
those people.
Yeah, maybe an obstacle course is one of the best things for you. Like there's lots of different stuff out there. They've got the Ninja Warrior gyms that'll really, really test you. If you really want to find out how unhealthy you are, go there, try and hold your body weight up while you try to slide. Or
I feel like I'd defeat myself. I'd feel so defeated.
Yeah, it is a wake up call. You go to something like that, some sort of activity. And you know, the reason we want people to be healthy is so that they can have a more fulfilling life. You know, your opportunities to things open up. You know, you don't lose opportunities by being in shape and being healthy. You just get more opportunities, and it's not just for you. It's for your spouse and your loved ones and your kids. And it keeps you around longer for them. And that is ultimately what we want for everybody, regardless of what our opinions are on this, whether you think this lady was drop dead gorgeous and beautiful, or you think it was one of the most hideous people you've ever seen. despite any of our differing opinions on this, we do want everybody to be healthy, and there is no one size fits all for you. There's, you know, all the different diets out there, you're going to have to take it as a base and change it. And you're going to have to take workout routines and get with somebody that knows what they're doing. And you have to tailor it. There is no one size fits all type of answer or blanket workout that works for you and me and Jordan here. So in the end, we want everybody to be helpful or to be healthy, but also to
do want people to be helpful.
We do. We do want them to be helpful, you know, healthy and useless. There we go.
oh my gosh.
But I think at the end of this, we really do want to watch out for, I couldn't answer the why they are pushing not body positivity. I don't even think that this, like I said, I think that swings past that, and they're really trying to fit everybody into a mold and to accept something as beautiful. That's, I guess, as Peterson said, not.
Yeah. It's about weakening the country. It's really about weakening the country, destroying yourself from the inside out with how, you know, not fit we are, how our obesity rate is rising, how we care more about pronouns than kicking butt for our country. I don't give a crap about your pronouns in the military. I care about you protecting our country. End of story. So all of this ideology is to weaken us from the inside out. That's what's happening.
I don't, it's kind of hard to see it from any other angle, because that's really all that it's doing, is it does just weaken the population. It weakens their mindset. You don't have to work hard to achieve a body that's not fit. And it creates maybe a sense of laziness.
No, 100% there's laziness. Like it takes work to get up and go to the gym. Like, good yep. Lord, like you have to have some level of discipline.
Yeah. And you become extra dependent on other people. And I think ultimately the government wanting you to be more dependent on them as, and this is something we didn't really hit on this, but all of it's connected. You really do, like, I think Russell Brand's been on top of this from a lot of different topics, but really following the money, who's getting incentivized, who's getting paid off, who's profiting from different things. And when you have a country that's unhealthy and largely there's obese and morbidly obese, but then just overweight, when you have a country that's falling into that pattern and then they're trying to push it and make it more normalize it amongst everybody, your hospital bills go up, and that's just returning customers till you're dead, quite honestly. And with the type of food that is out there, to me, I will look at it all and it just becomes like this paradox. It's a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
You're unhealthy. You go to the hospital. They kind of stick a Band-Aid on it. But the real problem is that your body's not healthy. And that's going to sum it up for most of, I think most of the health issues that we have in this country. If we could get ourselves off into a more fit and healthy state, you know, a lot less people would be in the hospital, but that doesn't make money.
Yeah, it does not. It does not. You're right. Well, you can always let us know what you think about the Sports Illustrated cover, or just about the topic in general. Is obesity beautiful? And is it healthy? I think that's all we have for today. Stay tuned for our next episode.